live in the Priority One Security Studios, PriorityTheNumberOneSecurity.com. Priority One Security, serious security. Do yourself a favor. This holiday season, give yourself the gift of great security. Priority One Security, PriorityTheNumberOneSecurity.com. Kelly, how are you?
Hey, Kwok.
Oh, man.
We're here.
That's right. We're both here.
We're both here. We made it.
I tell you what, your plane got you here. My car did not. And apparently my car is...
No, my car got you here.
Well, that's true. Your car got me here because my car had some problems. It had some problems this morning. As the dealership works through the checklist of issues before I go to town next week, I was very glad that you were flying in on two wheels and trying to get here right on time as well. So it worked out great. It worked out great. It was a nice synergy with the partnership we have here.
Happy to help, Kwok.
How was Tally?
It was great.
Good?
It was a lot of fun. The game was a blast. It was a really good game, two ranked teams, and it came down to the end. Florida State did win, and both the staffs were super welcoming and great with us in terms of shoot around and prep and providing us with what we needed. And it was just a lot of fun. It was a great time in Tallahassee. I'm back. Got that that plane out this morning, and now I'm here, ready to roll.
Very good. We've got a lot to discuss. You missed yesterday's show. It was shenanigans.
Well, I heard that you lost everybody
$12. $12.11. Sorry about that. Checks in the mail to literally everyone.
It's like the payout from the guy who won the massive lottery.
Oh, yeah.
What is that technically called?
Powerball?
Powerball. That's what it is. It's like that payout. You owe each of our listeners, divide all of our listeners, divide $12 by all of our listeners. We'll send you all a cent, I guess.
It's like when Ron Swanson in Parks and Rec, when he's like, after the Harvest Festival, he says that we should return the proceeds to the taxpayer. And it's like just a few cents a person before postage. And so they would actually lose money, return it. It was, I always love that clip. Anyway, 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to get in today. Brett Friedlander going to join us at 12:25, talking a little Atlantic Coast Conference. Probably talking a little Virginia Clemson as well. What the heck's going on at Florida State? I got nothing. I mean, zero at Florida State. Do you have any insight on the Florida State search?
Look, I tried to do some intelligence work down there. I was wearing neutral tones, wasn't wearing any Clemson stuff, obviously, so they didn't see me as a spy. But I asked the few people I talked to. Now, they were involved with women's basketball, so it's not like they know everything about football. And none of the Florida State employees that I made contact with had any idea who the next head football coach would be. So I think they're very much keeping it under wraps, assuming they have hired someone and that coach is coaching this weekend or whatever it is. Not many people know. They've really tried to keep it under wraps, I imagine. The AD, the Board of Trustees, President, that's about it. So that's something that we really don't know much more about. And we'll see. Maybe after this week. It feels like they want to get it done relatively soon. They don't want to wait forever. But I'm not sure when that decision is going to come.
Well, I'm very excited that they're going to get it done by the deadline that they're going to reach 6 days ago.
Yeah, I don't know why they gave themselves a deadline that was just simply not smart. But you have people that are not super experienced when it comes to coaching searches, so maybe that's the issue. Never put out a deadline. Don't do that when you're looking for a coach.
We were talking about this on the way up here. I read a report this morning, and I saw it on Football Scoop, but then I clicked the link, and it's in the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. And I'm just going to read from this report by Dave Matter, who is talking about the latest development with Missouri. And it goes like this. As Missouri Athletics Director Jim Sturt continues to look for his next football coach, some members of the UM System Board of Curators aren't thrilled with some of the choices being presented as options, multiple sources told the Post-Dispatch Thursday. Sturt had shared with some board members that Mizzou's targeting Arkansas State's Blake Anderson, Army's Jeff Monken, and Louisiana Tech's Skip Holtz, a source confirmed. Board members did not outright reject any candidate, but some are worried about the public fallout if Mizzou doesn't consider other high-profile coaches instead of settling for lesser-known names, especially after firing Barry Odom, a Mizzou alum whose last three teams were 21-17 and each won enough games to be bowl eligible. Close quote. And they were talking about Anderson would be kind of an easy hire. He's been at Arkansas State and had decent success, not great, but decent success, highly respected guy. You could do worse than that. I'm not sure why you get rid of a guy who got you to bowls three straight times, took you through kind of a dark period in the history of your school with the controversies that they had on campus and the fallout there with admissions plummeting and support eroding a little bit and athletic department in the red a couple of times. Anderson's won at least seven games, 1-4 in bowls. Very famously and tragically lost his wife at the start of the year, had to take some time because of cancer. But again, he's very well respected. But the board is like, no, we want better candidates. To me, that is going to be the residual effect of this offseason, is that the two best jobs are Florida State and Arkansas, all things considered. I think Arkansas has an advantage, and I think you disagree with that.
I still think Missouri is a better job than Arkansas.
Arkansas at least has deep pockets that they can go to, where Missouri does not. And that's why I would give Arkansas the edge over Missouri there, just in terms of an ability to hire.
There's a lot more money in Arkansas when it comes to, you know, you got the Jerry Jones influence, you've got the Walmart influence. There's money there. And there's one school that people support in Arkansas.
That's
and
right.
It's Arkansas.
That's right.
And all that money goes there. And I understand that. But both Missouri and Arkansas, they get their SEC money. It's not like Missouri, I know they've had some issues, but I still think they can pay enough for a good coach. Football-wise, Missouri is in a much better place than Arkansas.
Arkansas.
And
yeah.
I think, too, just from a coach coming in, you don't have the residual effect of seeing Chad Morris fired in less than 2 years. That's a scary thing for a coach. And you and I, again, we're talking about this on our car ride as we normally we don't show prep together as we drive in, so this is kind of a new thing.
That's true.
But both with Florida State and Arkansas, I think what recently happened at both of those schools where they fired these coaches after less than 2 years is scaring some people off, because yeah, those are two generally attractive jobs. Florida State definitely, and Arkansas, sure, they have a good amount of history there. But if you're comfortable where you are, if you've had some success, if you feel like you have job security, why would you risk it and go to a place where you know expectations are so high and who knows how long you'll make it?
Well, and it also speaks to the marketplace where it is definitely it's hard to say buyers or sellers. It's a coach's market and not an AD's market right now. The coaches are basically saying, okay, should I go to a place where they're about 500, they fire coaches after 20 games, or should I sign bajillion-year, bajillion-million-dollar deals where I am, where I like the AD, I like the direction, I'm hailed as a hero, PJ Fleck, Tom Allen, Matt Campbell. You've had coaches in the span of the last week sign contract extensions at, in the modern era, college football wastelands where nobody wants to go, at Indiana, Minnesota, and Iowa State. Places that if you have success, you're going to go somewhere else, but you're probably going to get fired from there because no one wins there. Iowa State, Indiana, Minnesota have locked up their coaches for a ton of years and a lot of dollars, and they've put resources, all three of those places, into the football program to back those coaches. And Florida State and Arkansas can't get a coach, and USC has to settle for a coach who's going 8-4 with a couple of dead recruiting classes down the pike. They just signed their worst recruiting class in the 20 years that they've been, you know, doing recruiting class at USC, because they never will back Clay Helton.
And that's part of the reason why they kept him, I think, because they can't afford to live in limbo.
That's right. Mike Leach as well. Thank you, text for the 864. Mike Leach, Washington State, a football wasteland. Football wastelands are locking up coaches, and national championship caliber programs like Florida State can't find one, and a national championship caliber program like USC is like, we'll stick this out for another year. Probably because they don't know that they're going to be able to hire any candidate better than Clay Helton, and they'd rather have the devil they know than the devil they don't.
And they've seen it get worse at places like Nebraska and Florida State. When you fire an 8-win coach, some places it was a little worse than that. And you think, you know, the grass is always greener. It's not necessarily always greener. And USC, I know they actually released a statement saying, we're not okay going 8-4, but they also kept Clay Helton, which also tells me that they are okay going 8-4. They would much rather go 8-4 than take a risk and go 6-6 or miss a bowl like they did a couple years ago.
And I think this is particularly troubling for fans of these programs. So, like, if you're a fan of, let's say, well, honestly, let's say Georgia. Georgia is a traditional power in college football. Georgia's got a national championship. Georgia has respectability. Georgia has recruited well for decades. Georgia is an established name. If Georgia goes 6-6 a few times, it ain't hard to see the program go down like that. Jim Donnan, Ray Goff. I mean, they didn't have terrible years, but then they got a little better with Mark Richt, but then the program goes down. Boom, like that. You end up needing to, and look, Kirby Smart's been a great hire. He was not the equivalent of a James Franklin. He was not the equivalent of name P.J. Fleck. He was not the hot head coach. They didn't hire the hot head coach. They hired an alum who had no head coaching experience at Georgia. Some of these places think that they're better than they are. Florida State thinks they're better than they are, that they're going to be able to ride some national championships in the 90s to a great coaching hire in 2013 to a great coaching hire in 2019, when in reality, let's be clear about this, Florida State. Your top candidates would rather reside in Minneapolis and Ames, Iowa than Tallahassee. That's just the reality. And that is unthinkable for a proud fan base like Florida State. It is unthinkable that Arkansas could mention Tom Allen's name and he gets an 8-year deal to stay in Bloomington rather than go play for Arkansas, who has a proud football history.
It also shows that one hire can ruin everything. One bad hire can take you further down than you ever imagined. And that's what Willie Taggart has done at Florida State. And to a lesser extent, I would say, what the Chad Morris hire did at Arkansas. But a couple years ago, when Jimbo was leaving, we talked about how Florida State's a great job. And they were viewed differently just a couple years ago. And Taggart's inability to make anything happen there, and really the damage he did, has made Florida State look a lot worse in just 2 years. It's crazy.
It's unbelievable to think about. If you look at the top four teams right now in the college football playoff, let's look at the seven teams. The seven teams that are
Clark,
at the top of the college football
playoff. I hate to break it to you, but it's a 4-team playoff.
Well, I know that. But the seven teams that could get in, okay? I'm saying the seven teams that could
That's
get in.
That's a unique idea. A seven-team playoff. I haven't heard that yet.
Oh, yes. seven teams that have a chance to get in the playoff. Number one is LSU. Head coaching experience, fired once, interim twice. Ed Orgeron. He didn't have a successful stop somewhere before he got to LSU. He may as well have been a first-time head coach. In fact, he was a second-time head coach, where the first-time head coaching job that he had may have cost him a chance at the USC job.
And it's ironic that the two places he was at previously are currently either going through a coaching search or kept Clay Helton when they didn't really want to. Ole Miss and USC.
That's true. Number two, Ohio State. Well, Ohio State and LSU 1-2. Flip-flop. Ohio State promoted from within a guy with zero games of head coaching experience. Clemson hired a coach, zero games head coaching experience. Georgia hired a coach, zero games head coaching experience. Oklahoma hired a coach with zero games head coaching experience.
Wow.
Baylor hired from Temple. That's more the traditional route that these other ADs want to do. They want to hire from the group of five. They want to hire somebody with a lot of success. That's more the Baylor route. And then you got Utah, Kyle Whittingham, zero games head coaching experience. So why are these teams that consistently find themselves 6-6 or they're dissatisfied after 20 games, why are they like, you know what, hiring this caliber sitting head coach, not good enough. We want a better sitting head coach than Blake Anderson. We want a better sitting head coach than Dan Monken. We want a better sitting head coach than Willie Fritz. We want a better sitting head coach than Skip Holtz. There's no imagination or inventiveness. You know who's about to make a good hire? Colorado State's about to hire a guy whose family lives in Fort Collins, who is on Ohio State staff, who didn't get it the last time because he needed more experience. Assistant head coach for Urban Meyer, co-defensive coordinator, if I remember right, maybe on the offensive side, the Halfley guy on the staff at Ohio State. He wants that job for a long time. Give it to him. No head coaching experience. Why is Missouri too good to hire somebody without head coaching experience, but it's worked out pretty well for Clemson, Oklahoma, LSU-ish, Ohio State, and all these other teams?
That's an interesting point, Kwok. And it'll be, you know, we'll see if teams start going the hotshot coordinator route, because the head coaching pool seems to be getting smaller and smaller when it comes to candidates. And I will say, we did get a very positive thing out of Ed Orgeron's stint at Ole Miss. He was excellent in the blind side.
Brent Schaefer. That was really good when he talked about Brent Schaefer.
He was great. Just a natural actor.
Rebels. Love Coach O. All right, stay with us. We're going to talk ACC. We'll get into a little Clemson, Virginia, the picks. Has everybody gotten their picks in?
I'm going to look at the break. I have a lot of emails.
Okay, that's a good sign.
That's a good sign.
Hopefully not junk mail.
But we'll see.
Anyway, impress your friends and family with a clean home. Zero Res brings a whole new meaning to clean carpets. They're just like new. They use Empower Water, so there's no residue, odors, or toxic chemicals left behind. Spell it backwards or forwards. It's arrive at a clean call, 558-7300. No one can clean like Zero Res. We will return from Wide of Bounds in just a moment.
Book your next party at Carson Steakhouse in Anderson with a large private dining room to suit all of life's celebrations, corporate and social group events. Host a family or school reunion to remember. Book your reservation and they handle the rest. Double fried chicken wings, fresh baked yeast rolls, hand-cut steaks, grilled teriyaki salmon, and fresh strawberry shortcake, just to name a few delicious menu items. Make your reservation today. Call 226-9400. Again, that's 226-9400. Carson Steakhouse, Anderson.
Roosters wants to help you give the perfect gift in this holiday season. Stuff those stockings with gift certificates and shave kits and get their gift boxes under the tree. Get 10% off products from now until the 24th of December. Give your dad or the man in your life a great gift of feeling good this holiday season at Roosters. Roosters Men's Grooming Center, located at 3953 Pelham Road in Greenville, South Carolina. Call today at 884-8920 for your next appointment.
Here at the Surgery Center at Pelham, we have always strived to provide our patients with a better medical experience. Our team of physicians revolutionized the total hip and total knee replacement surgery by allowing you to have the surgery in the morning and sleep in your bed that same night. Now we've changed the game again with our new transparent pricing system. In an effort to provide patients with a streamlined, transparent pricing process, you can now see what your procedure will cost down to the dollar without even having to come in and visit us. Just go to surgerycenteratpelham.com and you'll see our cost estimator tool right there on the homepage. All you have to do is choose which procedure you're planning on having and enter your insurance information. We'll give you the exact cost, no hidden fees, just an honest, straightforward, and transparent price. All a few clicks away. It's just one more way we're looking to improve our patients' experience. To find out if you're a qualified candidate or to get your price estimate, visit surgerycenteratpelham.com today.
At Big O Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, we're all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And part of that means showing support for our military. That's why we offer a $500 military discount to active or retired service members. It's our way of saying thank you for all you do. Whether you're looking for a car, SUV, minivan, or truck, we've got a huge inventory of quality new and pre-owned models for you to choose from. Visit us online at BigOdodge.com or come see us in Greenville under that big American flag on the motor mile. Military discounts on select models only.
Jimmy was taken off his metformin in less than 90 days on the health dare. Chet and Kathy no longer use a CPAP machine. Ted lowered his cholesterol and lost 87 pounds of fat. Huck and Nancy lowered their blood pressure. This season, give the gift of health to someone you love, because the second Health Dare program is free. Don't do this alone. Grab your spouse, parent, or a friend and book your consultation today. Go to iDareMe.com or call 1-877-IDAREME. That's iDareMe.com.
Now is the time to check out Foothills Motorsports. They have over 500 combined motorcycles, ATVs, side-by-sides, and personal watercrafts on site assembled so you can get in, get out, and get back outside. South Carolina's premier power sports dealer, Foothills Motorsports, has Can-Am, Honda, Husqvarna, Kawasaki, KTM, Suzuki, Sea-Doo, Polaris, Slingshot, Yamaha, and Wave Runner, all under one roof. Stop in today at 104 Halter Drive in Piedmont or online at foothillsmotorsports.com.
Winter can be such a wonderful time of year with family and friends, but it can also mean the inevitable ice storms that we see here in the upstate. Don't let heavy ice-covered power lines leave you in the dark for the holiday season. Be prepared with a Generac automatic home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Power Pro Premier dealer. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment and tell them Mickey sent you.
Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
A lady who loves football. That's a real woman.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
It started way back in third grade. I used to sit beside him in Lou Hayes. A pink dress, a matching bow in her ponytail. She kissed me on the...
Back here on Out of Bounds, hour number one continues. This hour of the show is brought to you in part by Toyota of Easley. I told you guys that recently had a little issue with the RAV, but I took it to Toyota. They fixed the issue right away for free, no charge. They were absolutely wonderful, super courteous, and very quick and easy. So make sure you check them out for any of your service needs. And once you're in, you're in. You know, once you're in the family, you're in the family, and they take care of you. At Toyota of Easley, nothing takes the place of courtesy. 3 years, no cost maintenance. They've won the President's Award 26 times. Go see them today on Highway 123 in Easley. And you can also check out their website, toyotaofeasley.com.
All right. Our very good friend, Brett Friedlander, joins the program here as he does every single Friday. You can follow him on Twitter at BFriedACC. He writes at NSJOnline.com for the North State Journal. He also writes for Wolfpack Maven. Go to Wolfpack Maven. Check out all kinds of great NC State covers from him as well. What's up, Brett?
Hey, not much. How about you?
Oh, we're doing great. We're just talking about how every single school with an open head coaching job thinks they're better than they should be. And that includes Florida State, who, if they don't get James Franklin, then they're not going to hire anybody. I think is probably the theme of this.
Wait a minute. I thought it was Bob Stoops and then Urban Meyer, right?
Yeah. Well, and that's kind of the point. Like we really were talking about how Missouri has basically told their AD, their board has told their AD, we don't love these candidates. And they're like established head coaches like Blake Anderson and Skip Holtz and Todd Monken, guys that have head coaching experience. And we just pointed out almost all of the current contenders for the playoff this year hired first-time head coaches. But apparently some of these schools who like going 6-6, or rather that don't like going 6-6 or don't give coaches more than 2 years, think that they're entitled to get a coach with head coaching experience, even though first-time head coaches seem to be working out pretty well. What's your thought on that?
Well, you know, it all depends on who you're talking about. My favorite one right now is how Ilya Drinkwitz at Appalachian State is already a hot commodity. This is his first year at App State. He's winning. He's won 11 games, but with Scott Satterfield's players. And if I'm him, I'm getting the heck out of Dodge because I hear that he's really high on the Arkansas list, and because he's from Arkansas. And you know, listen, a lot of it has to do with the personal interview. If you come in with a plan, you're organized and your athletic director kind of feels like, you know, you can get the job done, then hire him. I mean, listen, I hate to go back to South Carolina here. And to me, that's the head scratcher why they aren't looking for a head coach right now. But listen, Ray Tanner could have had Lincoln Riley, and, you know, he didn't want to hire a first time head coach from a school, an offensive coordinator at a non-Power 5 school. So instead he hired, you know, a recycled guy who's doing exactly the same thing at South Carolina that he did at Florida. And Lincoln Riley goes on and becomes the offensive coordinator at Oklahoma. Stoops retires, and now he's boy wonder who NFL teams are after. So, listen, I think it's not a necessarily, you know, a situation of whether you have experience or not. It's are you competent? And, you know, do you kind of project that when you go to the interview?
Brett, that's a really, really good point about Lincoln Riley. Speaking of coaches, we saw some of the ACC awards come out. Scott Satterfield, Coach of the Year, ETN, Player of the Year, Isaiah Simmons, Defensive Player, Sam Howell, Rookie. When you saw all those awards, did you have any issues with who the awards were given to?
No, but I do have an issue with the fact that how is Travis Etienne not on the Doak Walker finalist list?
Right.
How is that possible? And I think that goes back to the same kind of thing that, you know, why was Clemson dropped to number 5 in the playoff rankings without having lost the game? I just think that there is such a I don't want to say bias, but there's just such a backlash right now against the ACC, especially when it comes to the SEC comparison, that it's mystifying. And I think that, unfortunately, the one team that is the best team in the league by far is bearing the brunt of it. But no, I don't have a problem with Scott Satterfield. If I had a vote, I would be considering him. I would have had a hard time deciding between him and Bronco Mendenhall, because I think Bronco did a great job because, he, Virginia was picked to win the Coastal. And it really, had some hard times there in the middle of the season and was left for dead. And then he got everything back together again. So, and listen, there are times when a coach like Dabo wins the award. Last year he did, and he had a first-time quarterback. Winning every game doesn't necessarily disqualify you from being coach of the year if you're expected to do it. But I think that this year there were two candidates I thought that really deserved the consideration, and I have absolutely no problem with Satterfield.
Visit with Brett Friedlander, NSAOnline.com, Wolfpack Maven. Check out his work there. Also on Twitter, @BFriedACC. It's seemingly a foregone conclusion that Clemson beats Virginia this week. And even then, Reese Davis is telling people that Clemson's in with a loss. I'm not sure how I feel about that. If Virginia is going to do this, Brett, if Virginia is going to push Clemson or beat Clemson in this game, what do the Cavaliers have to do?
Bryce Perkins has to be dynamic the way he was in the Belk Bowl last year and basically will that team to win. I don't see it happening. I don't think they're going to be able to score enough to outscore Clemson, and I think they're going to have to do that. But if it's going to happen, it's going to be because Bryce Perkins has one of those games for the ages.
So that's it. I mean, defensively, obviously without Bryce Hall, it's interesting. Do you
I don't think they can. I mean, they might be able to slow that offense down, and maybe Clemson doesn't score 51. Maybe they only score 38. But I don't see that offense getting shut down, even by a good defense.
Interesting.
Like Virginia. And even if it does, I mean, here's the thing. They put so many points up on the board. They've got so many weapons, T. Higgins and E.G.N. and Lawrence. And on. You lose sight of the fact that they only give up, 10 points a game? They're one of the best defenses in the country, too. So even if Virginia does slow them down a little, Clemson still wins the game.
And, Brett, that was part of Dabo Swinney's, I'll call it a rant. I don't know if we really should use that word, but he got a little heated this past week saying that Clemson's been disrespected and people haven't paid enough attention to their defense and things of that nature. Do you buy what Dabo's selling, that Clemson has been disrespected this season, or is that just something he's using to pump up his team?
I think it's a little of both. First of all, I do think he's using it to pump up his team, but think about this. Coach K in basketball, he advocates for the ACC a lot. He does it in a little bit of a different way. He doesn't do a, hey, we're being disrespected, my team, the conference. But I think Dabo is really, even though he's trying to pump up his team, I think he's advocating for the whole league, to be honest with you, because I think it gets a bad rap. I mean, look at Alabama's schedule, for crying out loud. You got Vanderbilt, you got, the Missouris, you got South Carolina, you got, Arkansas. I mean, that conference has, the bottom of that conference, I would be willing to, to ascertain that is much weaker than the bottom of the ACC. Now, the ACC at the top isn't as good. You don't have as many elite teams up there. But I think the middle and the bottom is just as good, if not better, than any other conference in this country. And I think that gets overlooked because Clemson is so much better than everybody else. And I think that what he's doing is saying, we're being disrespected. But I think he's also saying our conference is being disrespected, and I have no problem with him doing that.
I agree with you on that front. There's no question about that. Real quickly, before we head to hoops, because the Big Ten ACC Challenge did not go the way that the ACC would want. One question about NC State, new hire at defensive coordinator. I don't always get enamored with former West Virginia defensive coordinator. It just feels like a bit of a gimmick. But actually, the track record's not half bad for the new hire. Tell us about him.
Well, Tony Gibson, he came in, in theory, was co-defensive coordinator this year. He was the guy responsible for switching from the four-man front to the three-man front. That kind of came about because of injuries, but it really, improved their pass rush considerably. Dave Huxtable, the other co-defensive coordinator, who was the guy who was really doing the calls, I think he got a little stale. He's been with Doran since Doran came here in 2013, and I just think they needed a different voice. Gibson is a fiery guy. He's a guy that gets up in their faces, and he's kind of a motivator and everything. And I think that's definitely a good thing. I also think it's a good thing that they go with one defensive coordinator instead of the coach, because I just never liked that. And right now they're in a situation where they have co-offensive coordinators as well. I think that system is going to go by the wayside here soon too, but I don't think it's going to happen until after signing day, because one of their offensive coordinators, Des Kitchings, right now is working on a couple of their biggest, recruiting targets, their commitments, and I think that they don't want to risk losing those guys if they make any kind of a significant change. But I would not be shocked if they also change offensive coordinators, or at least change the dynamic where they only have one guy calling the plays this year, because it didn't work out last year.
Brett, we do need to talk some hoops, and it was a tough ACC Big Ten Challenge for both the men and the women, but we saw Virginia and North Carolina on the men's side. They both had lackluster performances on national television in the challenge. Which team surprised you more with their clunkers this week?
Well, Virginia, without Key, really has a hard time scoring, and if you can score on them, and Purdue did, then they've got real trouble. And look, UNC lost Armando Bacot too, to an ankle injury early in that game. They were competitive until he went down. And when he left, they had no secondary score. And oh, by the way, Cole Anthony had the flu. So, there's an extenuating circumstance there. But let me tell you, I think this is UNC's personality. I am really concerned about this team. And I think Roy Williams, for all his, aw shucks, and, I didn't coach him a lick. He's got real problems. He's got one elite special player and a bunch of pedestrian guys. I don't know where the scoring is going to come from, and I think that's a team that has got some real issues. And Roy's teams always get better as the season goes along, but I don't know how high the ceiling of that team is. So I think that's the biggest concern for me.
Brett, and I have no idea what to do with Duke. The way they beat Michigan State, the way they played earlier in the year, and then they lose to Stephen F. Austin. I'm so confused what to do with that team. Is that just a product of their youth, and you think they're going to figure it out?
Yes, and this group is nowhere near as polished and advanced as the last couple of groups, and so you're going to have the ups and downs. And the biggest thing is defense. And after the Stephen F. Austin game, first of all, Coach K doesn't necessarily mind stuff like that happening early in the season, although I'm sure he would prefer it not to have happened to Cameron.
Yeah.
But what he usually does is, when he sees his team is going down, a lot of times you'll see him sit back, cross his legs on the bench, and just let it happen, because he wants to go back and practice. And what he'll do is he'll take all the trophies and all the memorabilia and everything out of the locker room. He'll take, he won't let them wear Duke swag at practice. He'll make them wear plain white and blue t-shirts, saying you're not worthy of being Duke. And he's an Army guy, and he will just kill them. Well, he probably did that, and they really emphasized defense, and that's what won them against that game against Michigan State, is they defended where they didn't really defend against Stephen F. Austin. I think you're going to see some ups and downs, but you see the talent that they have and the ability that, that come February and March will make them a very, very dangerous team.
I think real quickly, last one, and I want to stay with Duke again, because the last couple years, and I'm going to include in a non Wake Forest way, the Florida State game is the first real test on the road for Duke in the conference. They have struggled. The Boston College lost, Virginia Tech lost a few years ago with that first conference road game. Is this an upset spot for Virginia Tech at home against Duke tonight?
Wow. I really don't know. I don't think so, but you never can tell. I mean, look, they won at Michigan State, for crying out loud. So I mean, that's a tough place in the country as you're gonna find. Although if you look at Coach K's record against Izzo, it's incredible how good it is. But yeah, Castle Coliseum is a tough place to play. Duke has had problems there in the past, but I think that they may be able to take care of business here tonight. I mean, this is Virginia Tech is overachieving, but I don't know that this is the same kind of Virginia Tech team as the last couple of years under Buzz.
Good stuff, Brett. We appreciate it. NSJOnline.com, the North State Journal, Wolfpack Maven, at BeFreedACC on Twitter. Brett, always appreciate it. Look forward to doing it again next week.
Anytime, and if I could take a second, Kelly, keep your eyes on NC State's women's team. I saw them last night against Maryland, and they looked really kind of sluggish because they just came back from Hawaii 3 days earlier. But my goodness, there's a lot of talent on that team, and I think that's one that you need to keep an eye on.
For sure. First of all, first world problems getting back from Hawaii. I'm calling an NC State game in Raleigh on December 19th, so I'll keep you posted as to when I get up there, but I'm excited to see them.
Definitely. I'll buy you some lunch.
Perfect.
That's what I'm talking about. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend. All right. You too. Brett Freelander. Good stuff there on the ACC. NC State women. I thought they'd take a little dip because they lost a lot from last year. They good. Again. You beat Maryland? That's good. Hey, I love my Omaha steaks. I've talked about this, my experience with the pork chops already. I can't wait after we get back from our belated honeymoon to get into the bacon wrap fillets. Can't wait for that. Give the holiday gift families
I'm
across America
for
love for over 100 years. Right, you're on the list. Omaha Steaks right now, they're giving an amazing limited time holiday offer. Our listeners can get a jump on holiday shopping. Enter the code OOB in the search bar at omahasteaks.com. Order the favorite gift package, a gift everyone will love, for only $69.99. That includes 4 6-ounce bacon wrap filet mignons, 4 savory premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steaks burgers, 4 perfectly browned potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, and, just for our listeners, a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board. All this delicious food, plus a free cutlery set they'll enjoy for years to come, for only $69.99. Omaha Steaks are the most tender, the most flavorful, and you can only get steaks of this quality from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. Here's the deal. Every order flash frozen, vacuum sealed, safely delivered in a cooler with dry ice, ready to cook. It's the best. I can promise you that, and an unconditional 100% money-back guarantee. Order now. Get the favorite gift holiday package plus a free 6-piece cutlery set and cutting board for just $69.99. Type OOB in the search bar. Don't wait. This offer ends soon. Go to omahasteaks.com. Type OOB into the search bar to order the gift everyone will love. Order the favorite gift package today. Hour one continues. We'll talk more college football on the other side next.
Hey, Tiger fans, be sure and head to ClemsonTigers.com to check out the Clemson men's basketball schedule as the next home game is right around the corner. While you are there, you can purchase tickets as well as take a look at promotional information and even purchase your gear for the game. It's available for you right there on ClemsonTigers.com. Join Coach Brownell and your Clemson Tigers as the action heats up in Little John Coliseum. We'll see you there.
If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and their showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house, and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports, located in Seneca and Anderson, is a factory-authorized dealer for EZ-GO and Cushman vehicles. They can fully customize your EZ-GO cart as well. With 0% financing, now it's easier than ever to own your own EZ-GO or Cushman vehicle. There's plenty of convenient game day rental packages and free demos available, too. Don't miss out this season. Stop by R&R Golf Carts and Power Sports on 123 in Seneca and Clemson Boulevard in Anderson. Online at rnrgolfcarts.com.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
ZeroRes is the answer to cleaning at its finest with no harsh chemicals. No residue, safe from toxins, and your carpet, upholstery, tile, and grout will stay cleaner longer. Spell it forwards or backwards, it's the right way to clean. ZeroRes, Greenville.com.
For over 30 years, one family has owned and operated Roto-Rooter, helping thousands of home and business owners like you. That's what they do 24/7, 365, with a real voice to talk to when your plumbing issues become their plumbing issues. Rest easy knowing Roto-Rooter is there for you, serving the upstate and western North Carolina for over 30 years. 288-7686, rotorooter.com.
Call Roto-Rooter, that's the name.
And the winkle troubles down the drain.
Diamonds and Gold Direct in Anderson has been named Anderson's best jewelry store 5 years in a row. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's best. See their specials of the month featuring diamonds, emeralds, and cultured pearls. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's best jewelry store, Main Street, across from the mall.
Welcome to Moe!
Hungry and in a hurry? Then get off your app and get on ours. Order everything from burritos and bowls to tacos and stacks on the Moe's Southwest Grill app. Anything you pick is full of fresh and flavorful ingredients, like proteins that we grill every hour, over 35 pounds of tomatoes that we dice every single morning, and seasonal salsas that are made in-house. Just order ahead on the Moe's app in just a few taps. Then skip the line, pick up your meal, and eat it at home or in the office, or in your car in the parking lot. No judgments here, just convenience.
Anderson Christmas Lights is your family tradition for a Christmas light show. $10 admission allows you to see brilliant lights on a 2.5 mile drive through that would bring a twinkle to anyone's eye. Roast marshmallows, make s'mores, drink amazing hot chocolate in the First Quality Village, and visit with Santa. Anderson Christmas Lights is a place where friends meet to enjoy each other's company while being entertained by nightly talent on the stage. Visit AndersonChristmasLights.org or Anderson Christmas Lights on Facebook for more information.
First Class Halt specializes in service. That's why we only service Honda, Acura, Lexus, and Toyota. We believe in being experts in our field and these makes. Don't take our word for it. Read our reviews. With two locations to serve, Greenville and Anderson, FirstClassHalt.com, your dealership alternative.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
La 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 la
la la la la la la la la.
Kelly, I thoroughly enjoy this time of year where you take us through live and in person every single one of the 93 light shows that you go through in your car. And you, like, you show us Nick's reaction.
I was not expecting you to say that. I didn't know where you were going with that.
You just, you give us a front row seat.
You're welcome.
And I really appreciate that.
You can follow me on Instagram.
There you go. If you're looking for a place to go through number 94, Anderson Christmas Lights.
Oh, they're I'll open, be there.
You will?
That's my next stop.
That's what I'm talking about. They're open through December 23rd daily at 5:30 p.m. $10 admission per car, 20 per van, and 50, Kelly, if you want to load up a party bus and just take a bunch of people in there.
That
bunch
sounds
your Instagram
like
followers.
The dream, frankly.
That's a fun night out, whether you're a large group or a party of two, not to mention all the proceeds benefit local charities. So if you're a church group, if you're, you know, if you just want to go on a date night like Kelly and Nick, if you're a senior group, if you're a kid at heart, if you want to take your kids to a fun thing, this is a place to do it. 2.5 miles, over 3 million Christmas lights. I have like 40 at my house, and it takes like an hour to get them all set. 3 million Christmas lights. 180 different displays. That's incredible. You can roast marshmallows, take a little wagon ride, make some s'mores, get a little sip of hot chocolate in the First Quality Village, or you can visit with Santa in the Lodge. Visit AndersonChristmasLights.org or Anderson Christmas Lights on Facebook for more information and a full entertainment schedule.
Speaking of,
I want that
Christmas. Oh, I might leave now. Even though it starts at 5:30.
I was going to say,
so
I've
got time.
Don't do that. You're going to be waiting for like 4 hours.
I've got time. I do have a Christmas celebration to attend tonight.
Yes.
And you will be there as well?
Yes.
It's an ugly Christmas sweater theme?
Yes.
Do you have a sweater? Don't let me down, Quark. I've asked one thing from you this holiday season, to bring it with your holiday sweater.
To answer your question, yes, I do have a sweater.
Oh, no. Is it your green one that you always wear that you say, oh, it's Christmassy? Quark, it's green! Just because it's green doesn't mean it's Christmas.
But it's not a pretty green, Kelly. And if it's not Andrew, if it's not a pretty green, you might say it's...
Don't make Andrew
if it's not pretty,
this.
It's... Come on, let's play taboo here. If it's not pretty, it's...
Ugly?
Yes! Yes! So in the eye of the beholder, you could say that that sweater that I'm wearing to a Christmas gathering is in fact ugly. In the eye of the beholder. I like my green and blue sweater.
So you are... confessing that a sweater that you have in your closet that you wear on a regular basis
could be construed by some people as ugly. Could be construed by some people. I wouldn't say that.
You let me down again.
Let's go to Dave, who's up with it. You might be surprised. We'll see. Dave is up with us next.
Don't give me false hope.
654 Roar is the number. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Oh, we're doing great. Hope you're doing well.
Good. I'm good. Just a couple comments on the college football playoff. I want to hear both your thoughts on it. I really feel as bad as Clemson is getting disrespected, and I know this isn't a new point, but I feel like Utah, I don't feel it's the point of, I'm not trying to speak in hyperbole here, but I think it's disgraceful that Georgia's ahead of them. And I think my reasons are basically that I think we'd all agree Utah's look better in the eye test, and their one loss at USC is far less bad than Georgia's one loss. But I think a point that's not made enough is that it seems what's compensating for these two things is this quote-unquote this resume for Georgia and these four top 30 wins, and that seems to be, you know, overcoming the other things. And my point would be that I give them full credit for winning at Auburn, but these other three wins, I mean, yes, technically they are top 30 wins, but, and people are, you know, making a big deal about how they barely snuck by, rightfully so. But I think no one's talking about the specific types, the type of teams these other three teams are. I mean, Notre Dame, Florida, and Texas A&M, they're just the type, they're only ranked where they are. They're only top 30 wins because all three of these teams, they basically do it yearly, especially Notre Dame and Florida. They've mastered the art of just never losing to inferior teams. You know, like Notre Dame, they know how to beat Navy, Boston College, Stanford. You know, Florida will just, you know, every once in a while Florida may nip you on a home field, but a neutral road environment, they're just not a threat. So I feel like these other three wins, they're wins that every other top team would have too. It's just blind luck that Georgia had them on the schedule. And I think the dominance of Utah, I think that's what dominance gets you. It allows us to use our imagination, be like, okay, well, Georgia beat Florida, Texas A&M, and Notre Dame, but so would Utah. So I don't think they deserve, I mean, they have to deserve some credit. You can't put them in a no-lose situation where if they lose the horrible loss and they beat these teams, it means nothing. But they've just seemed to be receiving, honestly, I honestly think Utah's wins over at Washington. To me, Washington, if they play well in Washington, hostile crowd, they can beat a top team. Washington State, Anthony Gordon catches fire, they can beat a top team. Like, Utah's had more dangerous, I think, situations. And I think, I just don't see why Utah, and if you think about it, you know, you can say, well, they have one loss, and, you know, and Clemson doesn't have a loss. I'm not saying they're better than Clemson, but if Utah, that USC game, I mean, the running back barely played. Their quarterback was beyond banged up. They basically had a close loss without their two best players. And if they have those guys, they probably win a close game. And I'm not saying they're as good as Clemson, but they have the exact same resume as Clemson, probably a better just from a resume standpoint than Clemson if those guys play. And I feel like we're so quick to make excuses for other teams, but with Utah, it's just, we just don't want to, you know. Just wondering your guys' thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree, Dave. I think it's an interesting point. I appreciate the phone call. Here's where I agree with Dave, and Kelly, you tell me if you agree or disagree on this. I think that Georgia has won the type of games that all of these teams would win. And I also think that Georgia, you don't take credit away from beating a good team, but you can also acknowledge that they have faced teams that, in terms of strengths and weaknesses, look very similar to Georgia. Have they faced a team with explosive playmakers on the perimeter? No. Have they faced a team that's anything more than a ball control offense? No. Have they faced teams where the offense is better than the defense? No. They face defense-first teams with sort of game manager quarterbacks and game manager skill sets in the offensive, on the offensive perimeter. They've not faced an explosive offense like which they've said. Frankly, I'll be honest, nobody has faced the types of offenses unless they've lost. None of these teams have faced the type of offenses that Georgia would face if they got to the playoff and the type of offense that they faced on Saturday. So I don't think it's fair to just say, you know what, those wins seem to make sense for Georgia. They make sense for everybody else. So we're going to act like they didn't matter. I mean, to me, you could flip the argument around and say, yes, Utah looks better on the eye test, but I think Georgia would beat a lot of the teams that Utah beat by 3 touchdowns, you know? And so I think you could also do it the other way. I agree with Dave's premise that Utah's better than Georgia, but I think it's a little too far to say, it's a bridge too far to say these losses, or excuse me, these wins don't feel as good because Utah would have beaten them too, because we don't know if Utah would have beaten them too, because I sort of agree about Washington, but Washington also lost 5 times.
Yeah.
Like, that's a 7-5 team. And if we're not going to pay attention to that, in a worse league, by the way, and say that beating Auburn and Florida and Notre Dame is probably better than winning at Washington, probably even just moderately better, I think we're being way too critical of Georgia's schedule and not critical enough of Utah's.
It has to matter. The data points have to matter when you've beaten teams that are ranked, even if we feel like they have underachieved or they're not as explosive offensively, because they aren't. They still have those wins. And with Utah, look, Utah knew this going into the year, and there's a chance that they still might make the playoff with one loss. There's a very good chance. But when you look at their schedule, especially because the Pac-12 plays 9 conference games, and so they chose to schedule no one in the non-conference. Not every Pac-12 team does that. Oregon scheduled Auburn, trying to set themselves up for a playoff if they'd only lost once. But because they did that, and their schedule shaped up to be the way it is, where they played one team that was ranked all year, and that's Arizona State, and they beat them 21-3. But because of that schedule, you can't afford to lose. It's the same spot that Clemson's in this year.
Right, that's right.
It's the same thing. And I know that there are certain circumstances with that USC loss, and the committee understands that. But you still have that loss. And I know that people don't want to hear this, because it should, you know, we should say, only this year matters. And I get that. But Utah, we haven't seen them. They don't have as much room for error because they don't get the benefit of the doubt. They really don't. Whether you like to admit it or not, Clemson got the benefit of the doubt in 2017 when they lost to Syracuse, beat some good teams, much like Georgia right now, bad loss, beat some good teams, and still got in and was the #1 overall seed.
I was going to say, that was less of a benefit of the doubt thing and more of a, let's look around and see if we can find better teams.
Nobody else was undefeated. I get that. But still, they didn't have to put them 1. That was a benefit of the doubt thing. With Utah this year, if we didn't have 3 undefeateds, which is odd, we normally don't have that many undefeateds, they would have a better shot. But again, that's out of your control. What you can control is, A, your schedule. If you would stop playing BYU, Northern Illinois, and Idaho State, maybe schedule someone else. And if you don't want to, that's fine.
Right.
But you have to win all your games. And maybe you get lucky in a year like this, where if Georgia loses, maybe you're in. But there's no guarantee, because you don't have the chances to make up for a loss.
Agreed. Hey, did you know, Kelly, that Clemson University is the only school in the South that makes blue cheese? It ages on campus, every hoop salted, cut, and packaged by hand. And since 1941, Clemson University's made that homemade blue cheese. Matter of fact, only school in the South, only school, let me repeat that, the only one that actually does this. Purchase yours today at ClemsonBlueCheese.com. You can get it at most Upstate, Ingles, select Bylos, family-owned stores across the Carolinas as well. Be sure to click the Deal of the Day link at ClemsonBlueCheese.com for fantastic prices on featured products just in time for the holidays. December 19th, the last day to order Christmas purchases online. What are you waiting for? Go to the website, ClemsonBlueCheese.com. We'll go to Jamie's phone call in hour two, plus much, much more, including some interesting news from Andrew next.
Broadcasting from the Priority One Security Studios, WAHT AM, 1560 Cowpens, WCCP.